You know what weariness is? You ever been bone tired? When I was in high school, the year I graduated from high school, actually, I spent a summer working as a roustabout in the oil field, digging ditches, moving pipes, setting up plumbing, doing all kinds of fun stuff out in the oil field. Actually, not any of it was fun. But 110 degree weather wasn't really fun. And there were many days I would come home so tired it was hard to get out of bed, you know, to even move to the bed, much less get out the next morning. But I topped that off 2 years later. I'd already had a year and a half of college, and I came home for a summer. And I worked as a bricklayer's helper in Midland in the summer. And we had 15 straight days of 110 degree plus weather. And the first day on the job, they put this little 110-pound kid hauling cinder block by the wheelbarrow full back and forth across the construction site. I thought I was going to die. Mom kicked me out of bed next morning and made me go back to work, or I probably wouldn't have. But there were many days when I was just so tired from all the loads I was carrying and mixing mud and all the work I was doing that I just didn't want to go back. And sometimes our Christian lives can kind of be like that. We can get weary of walking. So this series has been based on John chapter 10, verse 10. It's called A Life That Rocks, and it's based on the passage where the Lord says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance. An abundant life, a life that's full, a life that has something you really want to get up in the morning for. Okay? Not another day at the brickyard. All right? And so I tied that in with Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, where the prophet Isaiah says, those who trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So we've talked about what trusting is. We've talked about who the Lord is. We've talked about soaring. We've talked about running. And this time we talk about walking. I'm going to talk about power walking. Walking not ready to drop because you're so tired, but walking in renewed strength. So what is power walking is what we're going to talk about. We're going to ask, number one, what is it? What is walking? What does that mean? Then how do we walk? The Lord says, walk this way. But there are some walking difficulties we will have before we ever get to power walking. So I want to share some of these things with you. First of all, let's talk about what in the world is walking. Well, there's a lot of passages in Scripture that talk about walking. As a matter of fact, when you do a search on walking, on the word walk in a Bible, you'll come up with pages of passages. And so I went through those to try to figure out what walking is. And here's my best description based on a condensation of those passages. Walking is the day-to-day grind, the way we live our lives, our actions over our intentions. It is what we do and why we do it. It is the life we live that others see, feel, and hear. The verses that I read, there were many verses, and the verses that I read almost without fail talked about walking as applied action. It was an action word, an applied faith. It was doing what God had called us to do. It was obedience. It was either walking in the light with Christ or walking in darkness with the devil, and we'll talk about both of those. But you've heard it said, walk the walk, don't just talk the talk, because it's carried over into our vernacular that walking is actually how you behave. You can talk a good line, but it's how you walk that matters. You may have heard something along these lines as well. Our walk, our everyday actions, overshouts our words and shows what we really believe, Our walk shows our true values and priorities. So walking is how we live. Walking is how we live. Well, if walking is how we live, it is our daily life, the actions that we do, how then should we walk? And Jesus said, walk like this. Walk this way. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said to them, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then he goes on to say in John 13, 5, for I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. So Jesus said, see how I do it, and then walk this way. Walk like I walk. Now, again, if you start looking through Scripture at the passages that talk about how Jesus walked and that example, you'll come across lots and lots of passages, and we're going to share a few of those. But we really need to see, what did Jesus do? What did he call us to be? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul reminds us what Jesus said when he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. So number one, Christ walked in love, right? So he is our example, and you know John talks about how love is the key to life. If we love, then people will know that we are his disciples, if we love one another, right? There's a lot of talk in Scripture about love. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58, says, if we walk in Christ, it says, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We have a work to do in Christ, and that's part of our walk. But if we want to summarize it, in Christ we walk in victory. And here are some things that we know. In Christ, we walk in the new self, created according to God likeness, in righteousness, in purity of the truth, in renewed strength, in the armor of light, with decency, in good works, with all humility, exercising love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control, and understanding God's will. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of stuff to do. And Jesus said that his burden is light. And all of this stuff is good stuff. So how can we have so much trouble walking in it? All right? Well, there are reasons. Walking is how we live, and we're supposed to follow and walk this way, which is Jesus' example. But why do we need the strength to walk and not faint? And the truth is, we have difficulty walking sometimes. We just have some difficulties. And so there are several kinds of difficulties you have. Number one, it's a long road. Okay? It's a lifelong walk. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 is coming near the end of Paul's life. And he's talking, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me in the future the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. So it talks about the fact that all the way through his life, he had been serving the Lord. He'd been walking the walk. And elsewhere he says, follow my example. Okay, I have followed Christ's example. Follow my example. Walk as I have walked. But it's a lifelong walk. Jesus, the scriptures also say, do not be weary in well-doing. Okay? We just have to keep on keeping on. It's a long road. Jesus also said that the man who goes out to plow and turns around and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God, which means that you got to keep moving forward. If you start out to plow, if you start out to do kingdom work, and you turn around and go back and sit down in the easy chair, you've missed out. All right? But the fact that it's not the long road is not the only problem. The second problem is we have an enemy. We have somebody who doesn't want us to make this walk, and that enemy is the devil. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. He's out to get you, and the more you try to walk the walk, the more he's going to try to trip you up, knock you down, and take you out. Okay? The more dangerous you are to his kingdom by walking the walk, the more likely he is to come at you. If you're just sitting in your easy chair doing nothing, you're no threat to him. So he's not going to bother you. But if you're out in the highways and the byways carrying out the work of the Lord, he's going to be out there trying to find ways to take you out. All right. But that's not even our biggest problem. Okay, so it's true. It's a long road. It's a lifelong walk. We have an enemy who is the devil. But our biggest problem is we carry baggage. Okay? And this is the primary thing that takes so many of us out of the race. Tried to take me out of the race. Repeatedly tried to take me out of the race. Tried to take Paul out of the race. John talks about it. It's all through Scripture that there is a problem that we have that makes it difficult for us to walk. And it was such a big deal to Paul that he wrote Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 about this struggle. And it's the struggle we have with our old nature, the old man living inside us. See, we don't even need the devil to trip us up. We do a pretty good job of doing it ourselves. Okay? We do a pretty good job of tripping ourselves up. But Paul talks about it, and I'm just going to braille that passage. If we start in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, it says, "For I do not understand what I'm doing." This is Paul talking. He'd already been a missionary for years. He was writing a letter to the church in Rome, which he started, okay? "For I do not understand what I'm doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate." I can relate to that. In verse 18, he says, "For I know that nothing good lives in me," that is, in my flesh. "For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do." Have you been there? So in verse 22, he says, "For in my inner self I joyfully agree with God's law. But I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body." And then in verse 24, he says, "What a wretched man I am." This is Paul. "Who will rescue me from this dying body?" But he doesn't leave us hopeless. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He doesn't end there. He goes on in chapter 8, verse 1, and says, "Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus." These are possibly the most hopeful words in the New Testament. "Because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." Okay? So, yes, we struggle with the old man. And when we live under the influence of the old man, we walk in defeat. We walk in darkness, carousing, drunkenness, quarreling, jealousy, sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, ignorance, hardness of heart. And just in case he missed anything, Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 21, "and anything similar." In case I left something out, if it belongs in that category, include it. If it sounds like these, add it to the list. Okay, these are all deeds of darkness, and there's plenty of them. And the old nature wants to take us that direction. The old nature wants to pull us down. It wants us to be doing things. Every one of these things is both self-destructive and hurtful to others. Every sin listed, every item listed in this list is damaging to us. It's trying to destroy us, and it's ways that our old sin nature, in league with Satan, our enemy, seek to take us out of the race, knock us out of from the walk, keep us from finishing the course. Every one of them. So we have some difficulties. It's a long walk. We have an enemy. He's the devil. And we have some baggage. It's the old man. Those are our difficulties. Well, with all of this holding back, how do we move forward? I mean, the standard we saw of living in Christ is a very high standard. I mean, I love it. I want to be that person who looks like that, that high standard of Christ. But I find in myself way too often too many things on the don't walk list and not enough things on the walk list. So how do we move from the don't walk to the walk list? Well, we have to start power walking. And that's where we come now. What is power walking? Well, the best definition of that is in 2 Corinthians, but I'll tell you this. It's living in Christ by faith. And that's it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come." It says, old things have passed away. The old man is gone, and there's a new man in residence here. We can make the good list. We can make the walk list according to this passage. We can move out of the don't walk list. But I don't know about you, but in my life, all too often, things don't look so new sometimes. Okay? We have trouble overcoming the old man, our sin nature. And even with Christ in us, the road gets too long, the devil's attacks too frequent and too painful, and our old man weighs us down to the point it seems impossible to move forward. We don't have the strength. And because of our actions, we certainly don't feel like we deserve any help from God. I mean, he's supposed to be in us, and yet we're still messing up so bad. Well, here's some bad news. And it's in the New Testament more than once. You will always have to deal with your sin nature while on this earth. That's the bad news. You will always have to deal with your sin nature while on this earth. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, the apostle writes, "If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves." He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people who've already put their trust in Christ. And he says, "If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we don't have any sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." John says, you will always struggle with sin. You will always struggle with sin, and we need to not underestimate sin. Sin is deadly. Sin has all kinds of consequences, costs, and punishments, and sin is always deadly. But you don't have to be ruled by sin. As we read earlier in the passage from Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, Paul says, "What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this dying body? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I love the book of Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is summed up in two words: in Christ. You go through the book of Ephesians, it talks about where we are in Christ. Where we are in Christ. I've heard this saying, I don't know how many times, from Brother Ben. And I think this is the way it goes. If not, forgive me. He says, "If your condition doesn't match your position, then look to your position, not your condition, until your condition becomes like your position." Let me say that again. If your condition, the life you are living, the struggles you face, the loads you're carrying, don't match your position, which is in Christ, victorious, enthroned in heaven, then look to your position in Christ, not your condition struggling, until your condition stops being struggling and becomes like your position, which is in Christ. So let's look at it this way. In Christ, we walk in victory over the old man, in the freedom of the new man, by faith in Christ Jesus. By faith in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that is the key. Faith is the key to walking. We have to live by faith. If you're going to trust, it requires faith. How many of us, well, the truth is none of us, can see Jesus Christ face to face in the flesh right now? Okay? We can't see him face to face in the flesh right now. We know he exists because you can't see the wind, but you can see and feel and hear the effect of the wind. And just like the wind, you can't see Christ, but you can hear, feel, and see the effect of Christ in your life and in the lives of others. So we know that he exists, but we have to trust. We have to have faith to trust that he exists. If you don't have faith, you will never trust in the Lord. If you don't trust in the Lord, your strength will never be renewed. If your strength is never renewed, you will not soar on wings like eagles. If you don't soar on wings like eagles, you will not be able to run the race. And if you can't run the race, you certainly won't be able to walk the long distance, lifelong, devil-ensnaring, burden-bearing walk that we have to do on this earth. You have to have faith. It is the key. It is the key. And sometimes, as Christians, we can't walk the walk because we never flew in the first place. Remember, it says flying comes before walking. Flying is when you learn how trustworthy Christ is. When he takes you off the cliff and catches you and teaches you to soar, that's when you learn how trustworthy he is, how much you can trust him. So that when you're walking down that long, dark road, you would think that walking would be easier than flying. But when you're flying, you're above the clouds. It's light above the clouds. You can see. You've got the presence of Christ living around you, bearing you up. But when you're walking that road, it can get really, really dark sometimes. And if you didn't experience Christ, if you didn't soar with him when he invited you to soar, you won't have the faith you need to walk the walk down through the pathways of life. It's all tied together, and it all hinges on faith. By faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God, Scripture says. Faith is the key to walking the walk, to running the race, to soaring on wings as eagles. But I want to remind you that it's the soaring first that gives you the faith and helps grow your faith to the point that you can walk the walk and continue the race. So, we know what walking is. Walking is how we live our life. We know which way to walk in the example of Christ Jesus. We understand we have walking difficulties, overcoming the old man, the devil, and the long, long road. But we also know that we can be power walkers by walking by faith in Christ Jesus. If you haven't chosen yet to walk by faith, to make that first flight of faith by making Christ Lord of your life, now would be the time to do that. Because you'll never make it through this life if you don't first learn to fly with the Lord, if you don't first learn to trust him. So now we're going to go back into a time of worship. I'm going to invite you to stand as the instrumentalists come back up and as the worship team gets ready. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to invite you as we worship. If you have questions, if you want to talk about it, if you want to make that commitment to Christ, if you want to join the church or talk about how to move forward in your life, come chat with me. I'll be back at the back of the sanctuary. Father God, we praise you. We thank you, God, that you don't leave us out here walking with the devil prowling around on this long road and under a heavy burden. You have promised us, God, that your burden is light, that your load is easy, and that if we trust in you, that you will bear up and help us to fly, help us to run, and help us to walk. God, we trust you because you are our only source. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.